Please be patient with my voice today. I decided that it would be a good time to get a cold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Today we have our gospel about the lepers. The lepers who stood away from everyone else and begged the Lord for help. I'll never forget the first time I saw a leper. I went to Hong Kong and I got up out of one of the subway stops, and there were a group of people kind of sitting on the sidewalk begging, and they were quite obviously lepers. And it was a remarkable thing to see, really. An eye-opener, as one might say. Thinking about the horrors of the mutilation of the body that Hansen's disease can cause, we have to consider how much more horrifying are the mutilations of the soul caused by sin. As a matter of fact, through many centuries, this is one of the Sundays on which Holy Church, the pastors of Holy Church, have talked about confession, because the Lord says to the lepers, go show yourselves to the priests. And in the course of obeying the command of the Lord, the lepers are healed. They're made clean, as Scripture says, because in the Old Testament, leprosy was one of those things that made people unclean, just as our sins make us unclean. There is no sin that we can possibly commit that the Lord cannot make clean, provided that we ask for the cleansing, especially in the sacrament of penance. You have an opportunity this morning to go to confession. Father Heilman is in the confessional even now. The lepers stood apart. They stood far away. They were obeying the law. The law said that they had to be apart. But there is a motive behind being apart and standing apart, and that is not to infect anybody. Now, they didn't understand at the time that it takes generally a long period of exposure to someone with Hansen's disease in order to contract it yourself. For example, St. Damien of Molokai, who eventually succumbed to Hansen's disease, spent a great deal of time among lepers before he became a leper himself. It takes a while. But Hansen's disease is one thing. The sin of scandal, committing scandal, is another thing altogether. Scandal is something by which we lead other people into sin through our outward acts, through our words, through our attitude. We commit scandal and we lead other people into sin. I think in many ways the present crisis that we are faced with in the church, and you've all heard a great deal about it, I'm sure, and you'll hear a great deal more in the days to come. The present crisis, I think, that rocks the church is caused by the fact of scandal. Over a long period of time, in other words, we maybe have gotten so used to sin that we're not much disturbed by it anymore. You know, if you're constantly surrounded, for example, by lepers, you barely notice them anymore. If you're constantly surrounded by sin, you barely notice it anymore. We're human beings. We get used to things. We get numb to things. As a matter of fact, one of the symptoms of Hansen's disease is numbness. You lose all feeling. You don't even feel that things are falling off your body anymore. That's one of the effects of Hansen's disease, is a numbness. We can get used to sin. Scandal numbs us. Scandal numbs us when we give scandal. Scandal numbs us when we receive it. One of the things that, you know, just yesterday, the Bishop Merlino issued a letter to all the people of Madison. He issued a letter to you. He has something to say to you. You should go to the website of the diocese to find a link to the letter, or you can find a link to the letter on my page or on Father Heilman's page. You'll be seeing it, I think, around. If you go out onto the interwebs, you'll be seeing Bishop Morlino's letter linked and commented upon, because, you know, right now all the bishops of the country are busy issuing statements. Some of the statements are pretty good, actually. Some of them have concrete issues, you know, concrete details in them of what they're going to do, especially making and calling upon acts of reparation. Well, our bishop has doubled down on acts of reparation. He's called for them in spades. He's actually asked people to make acts of reparation, but he also says what he is going to do, especially with masses of reparation. He's called on pastors of all the parishes of the diocese to have masses and prayers for reparation. He's really done something very concrete. Well, one of the things that he has said in this letter, and I think he's going to probably get beaten up by the moronic mainstream media of mindless Madison. He's going to get beaten up for one of the particular phrases that he uses when he says, you know, I think we need more hatred. We need more hate. Well, they're going to jump on that and say, oh, we've got to have hate. You know, the bishop hates people. And then he hates homosexuals because this is all about homosexuality and so forth. Well, what the bishop is actually saying in context is that we need more hatred of sin. You know, hatred is not it's not a wishy-washy thing to have. Hatred goes, you know, pretty deep. Hatred is something that comes from recognition that there truly is evil. Evil is a deprivation of something. Evil is a deprivation of good. Just as black is the absence of color, we hate the absence of good. And the more that good is lacking, the more we should hate the absence of good. We should hate evil. People commit evil acts. We have to love the one who commits evil, even as we hate the evil act. We have to love the sinner, even as we hate the sin. And Bishop Morlino, in his letter, has called us to wake up to the fact that there really is something called evil. We have to wake up and understand that there is something called scandal that leads other people into sin, that by sinful acts we can lead other people into sin. And then we have to hate the sin while loving the sinner. We have to be realistic about our existence in this world. There is evil. We have to hate the sin and love the sinner. The lepers stood apart from people because they did not want to, as they understood, you know, their ancient understanding of disease at the time. They thought that, you know, maybe like an instant contact would be an infection of other people. They didn't want other people to have Hansen's disease. One of the things that I think teaches us about the example of the lepers was humility. They were humble enough to recognize their condition, and they stood apart. They didn't want to infect. All of us should have a deep sense of responsibility when it comes to other people and our own sins, not to give scandal to others. Now, there are some horrific things that are going on, you know, constantly in entertainment, you know, in news reporting and so forth, and we just get kind of numb to the reportage after a while. But and that's in the kind of like the macro scale. But in the micro scale of our own lives, you know, one of the things that I think we should take stock of is when we act in a certain way, it helps, or shall we say, almost like gives permission to other people to act that way too. If we use bad language, if you're for example, in a group of people who use bad language, it becomes easier for you to use bad language also. If you act in a certain way or have an attitude, a certain kind of attitude, it's easier for you to use, for us, all of us, to do that also. Take stock of the fact that when you do these things, if you use a certain attitude, or you use a certain kind of language, or you act in a certain way, you are making it easier for people to do that also. It's almost like by doing it, you're giving permission to other people to do it as well. That's called scandal. That's the sin of scandal. And you can be responsible for the sins of other people by prompting them to sin by your own bad example. Now, the lepers, they approached Christ and they said, "Heal us, heal us." And Christ said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they were healed along the way. And one of them, of course, one of these ten, came back and he threw himself at the Lord's feet. He laid down prostrate before the Lord. And with a loud voice, he thanked him and he praised God. He didn't just praise Christ, he praised God with a loud voice. Look at the connection between the sin and the sinner. Putting ourselves at the Lord's feet, we can be cleansed. And then with a loud voice, in other words, outward example, we can prompt other people also to give praise to the Lord and to seek cleansing from Him. Our example cuts two ways. By our bad example, we can lead people to sin. By our good example, we can lead also people to seek holiness of life. If you recognize in yourself something that is dirty, something that is bad, seek the Lord. He'll cleanse you. There's no sin that we can commit that He can't heal or cleanse, providing we ask for it. Afterwards, show gratitude for the cleansing in everything that you say and in everything that you do. Be a good example such that other people, seeing how you live, might be relieved of the numbness of the scandal of daily living these days, or maybe the habitual sins that they commit, which also make us numb. And so that they too will seek the Lord. And you might, by your own actions, outward actions, not just kind of in a general way, but in a specific way, you might help them by being inviting to them. Invite them to come to Mass with you. Invite them to go to confession when it's scheduled. Invite them to take part in all of the good things that Holy Church offers, to cut through the numbness of the sinful age in which we live. Seeking God's forgiveness, show gratitude, show love toward your neighbor, and give thanks to God with a great voice. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.